some about the social and political context in which we read the statements that we'll be looking at in the New Testament. So, you know, if you're going to talk about the social and political context of the New Testament, you have to recognize the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room, of course, is the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire had contact with the Jews in the area around Jerusalem and Judea, and that's the setting for the New Testament. That contact began in about 63 BC, so 60-something years before Jesus comes on the scene. Pompey, the Roman governor, came and conquered Jerusalem in 63. The Romans deposed the ruling dynasty in Judea. That was the Hasmoneans. They had been ruling there since about 140 BC. And the Roman Empire put Herod the Great on the throne as the king of the Jews in 40 BC. So that kind of explains where Herod comes from and what was happening in Jerusalem around the time that John the Baptist starts his preaching. Judea proper, Samaria, Idumea became the Roman province of Judea in 6 AD. That's shortly before Jesus is born. And there were a lot of tensions up and down between the Jews and the Romans. Between 66 and 135 AD, which is a little bit later, that's when we get over this way on our timeline. And that eventually led to the Romans destroying the Jewish temple in the year AD 70. After this period, then you had terrible persecutions. Those continued until the Emperor Constantine issued what was called an Edict of Toleration, and Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. But the period that we read about when we read the New Testament is really the period from about 33 up until the year 90 or maybe the year 100. It's important for us to understand a little bit about the Roman emperors that were on the throne and their relationship with the Jews. Now, we talk about the Roman Empire and its relationship to the Jews. We think mostly about the Roman Empire in terms of the emperors that they had, and we're going to talk about that, but understand that they also had underlings, that's not really the right word, they had local authorities that also impacted the Jews. Herod was the king of the Jews, the king of the area around Jerusalem, even though he was answerable to the Roman authorities. And a lot of times these local authorities were charged with keeping the peace. And they didn't want to lose their position because there was an uprising in the empire in their area. And so you see Herod the Great being concerned that the Jews are going to rise up and they're going to rebel against the Roman Empire. So he does everything he can to keep that from happening. The Roman Empire may not have been really concerned about the Jews at this point. They're really just kind of a thorn in their side. They don't have any political power, really. They don't have a standing army. There's really not much that the Romans are worried about with respect to the Roman emperors are worried about with respect to the Jews. But the kings who are in these areas, they're really worried about the Jews and about whether or not they're going to lead a rebellion against the Romans. Now, during this period, when Rome conquers Jerusalem and Judea in about 63 BC, you find the growth and the political power of four different groups among the Jews. And those groups couldn't get along. You had the Sadducees. The Sadducees were in favor of establishing politically friendly relations with the Romans. They were, in the minds of a lot of Jews, collaborators with the Romans. They sort of recognized, hey, we've got the elephant in the room is the Roman Empire, and we have to figure out a way to interact with the Roman Empire and keep them happy, or they're going to take us, they're just going to put us into the same boat that they've been putting other conquered people. So you had the Sadducees. Now, alongside the Sadducees, you had the Pharisees. The Pharisees were separatists. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Roman Empire. So you can see that there's going to be some tension between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Then you had the Essenes. And the Essenes were even more concerned about separateness than the Pharisees were. In fact, that's what led the Essenes to leave Jerusalem and Judea and go out into the desert to the Qumran community. And it was the Essenes that created the scrolls that we have found. We call them the Dead Sea Scrolls. So they're even less inclined to be associated with the Romans in any way. And then you had the fourth group. The fourth group was the Zealots. And the Zealots wanted to be separate from the Roman Empire, but they wanted to pick a fight with the Roman Empire. They wanted to fight against the Romans. It kind of reminds me of the scene in Braveheart when the leader of the rebellion rides out on the horse and somebody says, "Where are you going?" And he says, "I'm going to fight, pick a fight with the English." Well, the Zealots wanted to pick a fight with the Romans. And the tension between these groups is so great that when Jerusalem is destroyed in AD 70, a lot of historians say that it was the Zealots who started the fires in Jerusalem that eventually wound up burning the temple, but they didn't start the fire to burn the temple. They started the fire in Jerusalem so everybody else would get upset and they would go fight against the Romans. So you had these four groups. Now, two of these groups famously also had religious differences. The Sadducees denied the resurrection. The Pharisees accepted the resurrection. And when the Apostle Paul has to make his defense before the Sanhedrin, which is made up half Pharisees, half Sadducees, he said, "I'm called into question because of my teaching about the resurrection." So he recognized this division, and he recognized that that division was in part why he was being put on trial before the Sanhedrin. Now, it was the Sanhedrin that had led Jesus to be crucified. They were the ones that made the decision. And it was the Sadducees that controlled the high priesthood at that point, who decided to go and get the Romans to crucify Jesus, because the Jews, they enjoyed some kind of friendly relationships with the Romans. The Romans decided that they would let the Jews maintain their religion basically as long as they religion, they just didn't like the Jews. Pilate was especially cruel and was one of those Roman kings who did not like Jews. But he didn't like Jews because of where they live. It's kind of like people don't want to move to Alaska because it's kind of out of the way. There's nothing there. You can't go to the theater. You can't do all of those big kinds of things that they would do if you were posted in Washington, D.C. In fact, I was good friends with one of the pilots for Federal Express. Federal Express wanted to establish a hub in Anchorage, and the pilots got so upset because they would have to live in Anchorage where there was nothing to do that FedEx dropped the entire idea of establishing a hub in Anchorage. Because the pilots wanted to have their hub where they were stationed. They wanted it to be on the East Coast, where they had more cultural and recreational opportunity. So that's the case with the Roman kings that get posted to Judea. Then you have the Emperor Caligula, but Caligula only rules for about 4 years, from 37 to 41. Caligula, if you read about the Roman emperors, he was probably crazy. And eventually, because he was so crazy, he was deposed. And then the next emperor is Claudius. Claudius reigns from 41 to 54, but again, Claudius doesn't really have any problem with the Jews. He basically leaves them alone. In fact, Caligula, there is an apocryphal story told by Josephus that Caligula wanted to build a statue of himself and put it in the temple. And it was Claudius who intervened and said, no, you can't do that. That'll just make the Jews mad. So Caligula never did put his statue in the temple. And maybe he was crazy. Maybe Josephus is exaggerating how friendly some of the Roman emperors were to the Jews. Because remember, Josephus is writing to ingratiate himself to the Romans about down here in about the year 70. So Josephus may have exaggerated the goodwill that Claudius had, but there's really no way to tell. After Claudius, things really go downhill for the Jews, and especially for Christians. That's during the reign of Nero. It was during the reign of Nero that Paul is killed, Peter is killed, and probably James is beheaded. So he's just an incredibly wicked emperor. There's a lot of parallels that you can draw to the reign of Nero and the persecution that he heaped on the Christians, and what may be going on in some parts of the world today and may have begun to rear its head even in our country. Worship of the emperors had come from the eastern part of the Roman Empire. That was never a part of Rome when it began. It wasn't until Nero that the Roman emperors began to think of themselves as gods. And once they did that, then you're going to have some problems that arise, and you can understand why. Now let's think a little bit about Nero. Nero is, as I said, he is particularly cruel, particularly sadistic, and in fact, Nero killed his own mother. So that'll tell you a little bit about how cruel and how irreligious he was. Nero was willing to marry one of his slaves. The only problem was that his slave was a male. So Nero would dress him up as a female and parade him through Jerusalem, parade him through Rome, so that it would be apparent that he had married him because he was a female. Now, Nero is close to being crazy, close to being nuts. He also married his horse and made his horse a senator. So, you know, you have to take some of that with a grain of salt. But Nero, his cruelty extended to opposition to the Christians. Now, you can well imagine that whenever any of this started to go on, the Christians wouldn't have anything to do with it. They would not bow down and worship the God of Nero. And so Nero wound up in a famous way, terribly cruel to the Jews and the Christians. He would take them and bury them in his garden and then soak them in oil and light them on fire so that they could light his garments. Terrible, just a cruel, wicked, deranged sort of emperor. So that's Nero. Nero, fortunately, is deposed in 68. And then you had a couple of things that go on. You had a Roman emperor named Galba. He reigned for less than a year. And then you had the Roman emperor Otho, and he reigned for 4 months. So things are really unsettled in Rome. And when the Jews see that, the zealots decide now is the time to take advantage of that. So the zealots become particularly active, and that's why Vespasian, who is the next ruler, the next emperor in Rome, comes and lays siege to the city of Jerusalem. That was in 69. But Vespasian had to break off the siege and go take his Roman army and go back to Rome because everything was in turmoil in Rome. So he left his son, Titus, in charge while he went back to Rome. Yeah, Bob.
What would be the reason that Vespasian would use to destroy Jerusalem?
He was putting down the rebellion. So the Jews had begun in 66 to start rising up, and it was largely the zealots who were the leaders of that rebellion. So he has to put that down, and he leaves Titus in charge, and it was Titus who eventually destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed Jerusalem as the leader of Vespasian's army in the year 70. And like I said before, there was so much turmoil among the Jews that the factions within the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots, they were doing more fighting amongst themselves than they were fighting against the Romans.
physical fighting or
like? Oh yeah, physical fighting. Yeah, physical fighting. In fact, like I said before, there's some indication that it may, that the zealots may have started the fires in Jerusalem to get everybody else all hepped up so they would go fight against the Romans. Because you got the Sadducees who are saying, wait, we don't need to do this. The Romans are our friends. They're not going to treat us badly. And the zealots are saying, no, we can't have this. Okay? So that's why Jerusalem is destroyed. Then Titus becomes the emperor when his father Vespasian passes away, but Titus only rules as emperor for just a couple of years. And then you have Domitian. Domitian is the emperor from 81 to 96. He is the one who begins this second great period of persecution against the Jews. The second great period of persecution against the Christians. Now, from the Roman perspective, you have to understand, this is the Roman perspective. Christians are just a sect of the Jews. As far as the Romans are concerned, it's Sadducees, Pharisees, Essenes, Zealots, and Christians. Those are all Jews. Okay? As far as the Jews are concerned, they don't want to be associated with the Christians. They're saying, we can't have anything to do with them. Those are rabble-rousers, and it's going to cause us problems with Rome. So the Jews are opposed to Christians, not necessarily because of religious reasons. In part, it was because they didn't want to lose favored nation status. Okay? From the Christian perspective, you had some Christians who were saying, hey, go along with the Jews. They have favored nation status with the Romans. The Romans pretty much ignore them. So we want to be associated with the Jews. And there were some among the Christians who said, no, we're not associated with the Jews. So you had all these different dynamics that are going on, all of these layers that are interacting, that's the cause of so much tension that you read about in the New Testament. Yeah.
Well, is Rome also having struggle with all of its other colonies or any of them, or is it just all the Jews right now?
Right. At this point, it's pretty much just the Jews. Yeah. The Roman Empire is at its strength during this period of time, from about the beginning of Tiberius's or Augustus's reign until the 200s, Rome is the big dog on the block. And then the Roman Empire sort of starts to crumble and they start to have difficulty of their own. But during this period, the Romans pretty much do what they want. It was Augustus who started the idea of Pax Romana. Everybody will have peace as long as they do it the Roman way. Okay? It's kind of like there's no disagreement. Everybody agrees with me. Well, that was the position that the Romans were in. Now, Jesus talked about there being persecution. He warned his apostles, you're going to be called before councils. Well, who was the council that was giving Peter such a hard time in Jerusalem in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts? It was the Jews that were giving him a hard time. There were times when they faced persecution at the hands of Rome. Yeah, Nero, who is ruling here in 54 to 68, particularly cruel to the Jews and the Christians, he wanted to crucify the Apostle Paul, but he couldn't. Why? Paul's a Roman citizen. So the Apostle Paul couldn't be crucified like Peter could be crucified. So you see, there's a lot of layers to all of this. And there's a lot of parallels that we can draw to what's happening in our country. We have the same thing. We have groups that are within Christendom, and that's a very broad category of people who call themselves Christians. We have groups who are saying, go along to get along. You know, the government is saying we have to allow women to compete or men to compete in women's sports. And part of Christendom says, well, they're just giving them opportunity. So don't make a big stink about it. Then you have some people who are saying, no, we need to pick a fight with the government. The government wants to fund abortions and they send money to Planned Parenthood to fund abortions, and we're not going to allow that, so we ought to bomb Planned Parenthood clinics. And it was just one that was bombed. I don't know if they know who did that, but there was one that was bombed just recently. Where was that?
Those statements are not new. One in California, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah, one in California.
Yeah. Yeah, so you get people that want to pick a fight. That's not saying that I support abortion. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying we ought to go along. But just understand that within Christendom, there are some people that want to pick a fight. And there are some people who say, just keep your head down and don't say anything. And the government will basically leave you alone. Okay? Now, next week, what we're going to do is we're going to take the New Testament books and we're going to overlay the New Testament books and when they were written on this history. So if you understand what's going on socially, politically, within the world that they're interacting with, then you understand a little bit more about why they wrote the way that they wrote. Okay? And I know that this has all been lecture. I understand that. I apologize for this being lecture, but I couldn't think of another way to do this. So if you would like to have a copy of this, I can print a copy of it, but it gets so small that you can't read it. That's why I couldn't put it on a slide and project it as a part of our slideshow. Yeah.
Rome as a world power, after it peaks, it goes on for many centuries.
Oh, sure.
Does that take its persecution with it? Or I think, at least in my mind, you know, after Jerusalem is destroyed, then we don't really hear a whole lot about Christians and persecutions through the ages. I know we have the Dark Ages and we have the Catholic Church in power.
Well, part of the reason for that is that when Constantine in the 300s becomes the emperor, he makes Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. Constantine famously said, I'm going to baptize my army. So he marched his whole army through a river. Whether you wanted to do it or not, he just marched his army through the river. And so you became a quote unquote Christian army. And so the record of persecution kind of dies after that point. In the later 100s, the Romans decided to confiscate property that had been owned by either individual Christians or by Christian churches. And they did. They confiscated a lot of property. And then in the Edict of Constantine, 315, that property was returned to the churches. So they go up and down. You see it again when you get to the World War II and Hitler's persecution of the Jews. You see it. It just, history repeats itself over and over again. So, yeah, Bob.
So did Constantine kind of make Christianity popular, so to speak?
He made it the official religion, so you had to be a Christian.
Yeah, but Constantine didn't last forever, so.
No, he didn't.
Goes on through history, then.
He didn't. But what happens after Constantine and the development of the Catholic Church is that the Catholic Church modeled itself after the social structure, the political structure of the Romans. And then they become two separate institutions. You had the Roman Empire starts to fall apart. The leadership of the Roman Empire or the government of the Roman Empire moves to Constantinople. And you have the Eastern religion. And then you still had the Catholic Church, which is focused in Rome. And you have the split between the Catholic Church in Rome and the Orthodox Church in Constantinople. And a lot of that comes over or is engendered by who gets to be the Pope.
Kind of a stupid question. And is Catholicism then, is it all the official religion of Rome still as history goes on?
Well, Catholicism didn't develop. It took Catholicism a lot of years to develop into what it is today. What it started out as was kind of a mongrel church that picked up some characteristics from Roman social order. Okay? So next week we'll talk about when the New Testament books were written. And you'll see that a lot of the books were written during the period when the Romans were cracking down. Okay? So we'll talk about that a little bit next week. And I will give you the PowerPoint or the Excel spreadsheet. If you have Excel on your computer, I'll give you the spreadsheet and you can scroll across it. That's the best way to do it. See, I can't do that when I put it up here on the screen like that. I can still scroll across it a little bit. I can go down here to the bottom and I can begin to move this way. And so I can get a lot more material on there. I can move up and down. So I'll make that available to